so I'm not focusing on looking at it or thinking about it. And today I have two sermons with me. I have the one for Robles and the one for here. And as I'm sitting there, I'm going, which one did I bring? So depending on which one this is, that's the word you're going to get. Genesis. Okay, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. We've been going through Genesis. This is our seventh stop in Genesis. And as we've been going through, we're kind of seeing that humans aren't doing real well. Adam and Eve had a perfect, all good, all very good relationship with God. And in came the serpent. And Eve listened to the serpent rather than God. And Adam listened to the voice of his wife rather than God. And the consequences to that sin were death, separation from God. But God had blessed Adam and Eve and told them to multiply and fill the earth. And God's grace is on display as we see Adam and Eve live a long time and have a lot of children. But then we learn in Genesis 6:5 that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But God's grace was right there again, and he called Noah to build an ark. And in a devastating display of God's righteous judgment, he flooded the earth and destroyed everyone and everything except those who were on the ark. And after the flood in Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Noah and his family had many children. In fact, chapter 10, if you care to read all those names, and maybe you should, I can't pronounce them, so I'm skipping the chapter. But he had many, many children, and it is the genealogy of Noah in chapter 10. So we're going to pick it up at the end of chapter 10, actually. We're going to look at 10:32, and our passage will be chapter 11, 1 through 9. So this is Genesis 10. Verse 32, the very word of God. These are the clans of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies in their nations, and from these the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Let's pray together and ask God to help us understand. Father, we come to you now as children who long and desire to grow closer to you and closer to each other. So I pray now, Father, that this passage would become real to us, that your spirit within us would enlighten the truth, illuminate the truth, Father, and seal it in our hearts that we may live in this truth by faith in your grace. So I pray that you do a mighty work through your word now, in Jesus' name, amen. So what is worse than one selfish person, one selfish evil person trying to make a name for himself? Two selfish evil people trying to make a name for themselves. Why? Why is that? There's strength in numbers, right? Strength in numbers. We feed off one another, good and bad. Let's focus on the bad. Our shame isn't as bad, seemingly, when we're with others who have shame as well. Our evil thoughts and desires increase as they are reinforced by those around us. The ability to plan and execute an evil agenda increases exponentially as more and more selfish, evil people come together with various talents and plans. This is what is happening in our passage. The sons of Adam, the sons of Noah, the sons and daughters of our parents are selfish by nature. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. That is Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. God had a simple purpose for those living in the time of this passage. Remember, God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." God again reaffirmed this after the flood in Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And six verses later in verse 7, "And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Those who are made in the image of God had an outstanding order. That was to fill the earth in order to glorify their God, their Creator. And that was not happening. So in our passage, we'll see, first we're going to see mankind's self-centered plan. Mankind's self-centered plan. And then second, we're going to see God's observation of the situation. He observes what's going on. And then third, we're going to see God's solution. God's solution. So let's begin with mankind's self-centered plan. Verses 1 and 2 are what make their plan possible. Verse 1. "And now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there." All the people of the earth had an ability to communicate with each other, and they found what they were looking for as they were migrating. They found a big plain area in Shinar where they could settle and build a city. They had a location, and they began to prepare in verse 3. "And they said to one another," let's hold up there, without common language, this would not have been possible to say what to one another. "They said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar." Strong, thoroughly burned stone, bricks, and bitumen. What in the world is bitumen? Couldn't figure it out. I mean, I looked and it says it's this pitch, or some say it's this asphalt, and I didn't know what bitumen is. I know it's strong. And I was outside working in the yard, and I bumped up against a pine tree, and I was out in the yard quite a while in the sun, and when I came in, I was pretty tired, and I looked at my arm, and there was this glob of pitch on my arm, and I took some Dawn, and I tried to rub it out, and it wasn't breaking up, and I thought of, what is that, Goo Gone? I didn't feel like looking for it. I was too tired, so I went to bed. I woke up in the morning, and there were these hardened clumps on my arm, and I'm like, I got to get this off, and I'm pulling on it, and and it's pulling my hair off and my skin off. And I said, butamin. So I have a new word now. It's butamin. It's this strong stuff. If a bug hits your windshield and you don't clean it off right away, butamin. Whatever it is, it's a strong mortar. And they had the supplies, and now comes the plan. The plan is threefold. And the reason for it is right here for us as well. Again, without a common language, not everyone would know the plan, right? They need to talk to each other and communicate. Because, verse 4, and then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Let us build a city. There's a lot of us. We can come together in this plains, and we can build this city. And within this city, then we're going to build this tower that tops off in heaven. And this tower that goes to heaven, we can be as God. We can replace God. We can have this tall tower, and that'll help us make a name for ourselves. We can make a name for ourselves. We'll have a reputation. And people will look at us, and people will talk about us. Our name will be on their lips. Why would they do this? The end of verse 4 tells us, so we are not dispersed. So we are not dispersed. The only command they had from God was to multiply and fill the earth. They knew this. They decided they did not want to follow like the others. You know, the sheeple. Following a God blindly by faith. Yeah, us crazy Jesus freaks who can't think on our own. They would have none of that. They were anti-God, and this was an anti-God project. They would not be told what to do. We will build a city, and we will build a tower up into heaven, and we will make a name for ourselves. We will not fill the earth. Brothers and sisters, hear me now. These people were obsessed with their own power. These people were obsessed with their own self. The gathering of selfish, self-centered, wicked, Satan-enslaved people hate God, and they hate Jesus, and they hate us as well. And they had a plan, and they were organized. Evil is organized. Never think that evil is not organized. Satan is not running around shooting from the hip. They are organized, and we live in an age when technology allows for the understanding of each other and communicating evil ideas and thoughts in an instant across the world. They use out-of-context words and out-of-context pictures, lies put out as truth, and on it goes. The master deceiver deceives the wicked heart. They're building a city and a tower and a name for themselves in order to rebel and not be dispersed in attempt to rob God of his glory. This was mankind's self-centered plan. Number two now, God observes this. He is observing the situation. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Oh, the irony. The mighty city, the mighty tower reached into the heavens, and God came down to see it. We build skyscrapers so tall that engineers have to figure out how it's going to bend in the wind and sway. We build megacities that house millions and millions of people. We build spaceships that are traveling outside of our solar system, and God says, I'll come down to see what you're doing. God came down to see their foolish, futile efforts. Then a God assesses the situation in verse 6. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Because they are descendants of Adam and Noah, and they are able to communicate, there is nothing they can't accomplish. There is no limit to their rebellion against their Creator. There is no limit to the evil that's in their heart's desire. So we see the plan, we see God observe the plan. Now here's God's solution to the plan. Verse 7. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over all the face of the earth, and they left off building a city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. God's solution is simple, and it has two parts. First, confuse their language. Confuse their language. They are not able to communicate with each other. If there's no communication, then there is no way to live together, right? And if you can't live together without talking together, there is no communion. There is no community. If there's no way to communicate, then there is no way to build. So therefore, they would not be able to build a tower. So in verse 8, God disperses them where they belonged, all over the face of the earth. And we don't know how God did this. There are thoughts, and I have some, but I'll stick with what is there. We know who did it. The Lord. We know what he did. He dispersed them, and we know where he dispersed them, all over the face of the earth, and we know why. They were sinning, and nothing was going to be impossible for them. God's will was for them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and that's exactly what happened. God's will. So much of this Bible, our Bible, well, mine anyhow, the beginning of it points to the end of it. Let's talk about Babylon. While Zion represents all that is good, Babylon represents all that is evil. The New Testament calls her the great harlot or the prostitute. The blood of God's peoples are on her hands. Pure evil at its core. Listen to this description from Revelation chapter 18. Babylon the Great, she has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of a luxurious living. And we are warned in chapter 18 to come out of her, lest we share in her judgment. The story of the Tower of Babel is a story that most people have heard. And it is a real and historical account that reveals the sinfulness of man along with the seriousness of God that he has for his glorious glory. The seriousness of our sin and the seriousness that God has for his glory. Why do we do what we want? Let me rephrase that. Get it backwards. Why do what we want? Why do we do what we want? We do it is because we have desire. Because what we desire is what we will do. Get that straight. What we desire is what we will do. Do we have a heart that desires self and self-satisfaction and self-esteem and pride? This is a deceived heart that will desire wickedness and evil things, and evil thoughts will abound. Be careful now. I used words like wicked and evil. It would be foolish for all of us to dismiss those so quickly, thinking, I don't have a wicked heart or evil thoughts. What these people did was make a city so they didn't have to wander. They built a tower to reach heaven. We are not told that they murdered or raped or were thieves. Simple disobedience is wicked and evil in God's sight. Sin is sin. Adam ate the forbidden fruit. It was wicked. That was evil. Sin is sin, and we all sin. And it seems like, in this country at least, evil is gathering together and building up steam, pushing God out and making a name for themselves, like nothing they propose to do will be impossible for them to do. So where is the hope? Where is the hope? The hope is where it's always found, in the gospel of Christ. Remember what I said, or I tried to say. We do what we want. I still can't say it right. We do what we want. The issue is, what do we desire? If we do what we want, what do we desire? Because what we desire is what we will do. And the gospel of Jesus changes our desire. Our internal desire now is for God. When we repent of our sin and we have faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us, at that moment we are saved. And we are born again, and the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Holy Spirit writes the law of love on our hearts and in our minds, and that is now our utmost desire. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We are born again. We have a new nature. We delight in God. He changes our desires from within to not be wicked, to not be evil, but to love. Our desire is now to love. Love God and love all others. There is strength in numbers for those who desire evil. But there is even more strength in numbers for those who love God. When we are together, there is a peace and a joy in the midst of our trials and our problems and our hardships as we share one another's burdens. That is God's power. When we are together, we are serving our God. There is grace and mercy towards our enemies. That is God's power. When we are together, arm in arm for the gospel, there is power to save the lost. We need to gather. We need to gather because we need to be the light in this dark world. Our building project is not to see what we can do. Rather, it's to see what God will do. Our building project is not to reach the heavens. Rather, to have facilities to gather as Holy Spirit indwelled, saved by grace sinners who love one another and love God and anyone God brings through the door, we're going to love them and tell them and worship Jesus together. Our building project is about God's name, not country Bibles. And the great harlot will hate and persecute us, guaranteed by the word of God. So what do? We absolutely, absolutely have to be a people dedicated to God's word. Final authority on all matters and the guide in our walks. We do not follow opinions here. We follow Jesus, the word made flesh. Also, we must, brothers and sisters, be separate from the world. Separate from the world, not removed from it, but separate. We need to be more and more aware of the evil influence that comes into our minds and our hearts through the world. Children, this is why your parents are concerned about what you're watching on television and what you have on your tablets. Evil influence is almost everywhere. Be aware, if you want to grow closer to God, shut those things out of your life. Also, kids, this passage is a great reason. This passage right here, where all these evil people gathered together, this is a great reason to trust and obey your parents when they caution you of becoming someone's friend. Trust their wisdom in these situations and look to them. One last encouragement. Oh, and this is so good. Turn with me to the passage in Revelation chapter 18, the last book in the Bible. Earlier I said so much of the beginning of the Bible points to the end. So much hope is found in Christ, and He is the reality of Revelation. We need to gather, and we need to encourage each other through the Word. I left out the beginning of verse 2 before when I read the description of the harlot, Babylon. But this passage right here is about the destiny of Babylon, guaranteed by the Word of God. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the very Word of God. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority on the earth. And the earth was made bright with its glory. And he came with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She is becoming a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean, detestable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And merchants of heaven have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion of for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her." There is hope, brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage. Simple truths. Man's heart is for self. Man's heart doesn't want to follow you. No one seeks after you, no, not one. But yet you have loved us and you have graced and mercied us with Christ. So we thank you that in our hearts now we have a desire to serve you, to love you, to worship you. I do pray, Father, that the desire within us grows today because of this passage. I pray that our love for you and desire to worship you grows because of your steadfast love for us and your faithfulness towards us. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this time together with my brothers and sisters. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.